Shortly in the coming days, we are hoping to have a booth out at Papillion Days, and would like to invite anybody who can to want to sit in the booth to talk with the people that come by. We oftentimes have interesting questions, and that's leading up to what I wanted to talk about today, because one of the things that sometimes people ask, you get people who basically do not believe in the Bible, are atheist in their viewpoint, or maybe even agnostic. And the question basically comes up, well, if God is real, why doesn't he just give concrete evidence of his existence? And that's a question that many of us who have talked to people in the world run into every once in a while. The attitude is basically, if I don't personally see evidence, then I don't think there's adequate proof. In fact, that kind of reminds me of the way Thomas took it when 10 of the disciples said they had seen Jesus alive. And yet Thomas said in John chapter 20, and in verse 25, John 20 and verse 25, so the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord, but he said to them, unless I see his hand, in his hands the imprints of the nails, and put my finger in the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. He demanded hard evidence. And there's a reason for that, and it's, you know, we're not going to totally fault Thomas for that, because he then establishes there was hard evidence for Jesus' resurrection. But the question is, well, what about God? Well, God has given evidence of his existence. In fact, Paul says in Romans that the very creation gives evidence because it speaks of God's nature. In verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse not to acknowledge that God's there, because evidence exists all around you. In fact, Hebrews points out an interesting point in Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 4. It says, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. When we look at the world around us, no, I don't look at this house next door here and say, oh, look what grew there. I know someone designed it. I know someone built it. I look at the world and it's designed. The evidence of design is all around us. That means somebody put it together. Somebody built this. Now, God told the world in advance things that were going to happen. He did that in order to prove that he exists. In fact, in Isaiah 46 and verse 10, he says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, a man for my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. God is demonstrating his abilities. He can tell you in advance, from the very start, what's going to happen. Even things that never happened before. And he has done that repeated times. The miracles that God has done, they testify of God's existence. In fact, in the Old Testament, we have the testimony of a Canaanite woman, a prostitute, who mentions to the spies in Joshua chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you have utterly destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and had no courage, remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath." And this is interesting because she's talking about the parting of the Red Sea. That happened 40 years prior. They're still talking about it. She's talking about the conquering of nations across the Jordan. She hasn't seen this personally. But just the news of that, of those events, was enough to convince her that the God of the Israelites was the one and only God. Nebuchadnezzar had several run-ins with God. In Daniel chapter 3 is one of those. Nebuchadnezzar was stirred up against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and had him thrown in a furnace of fire, to which they miraculously survived. Not only just survived, but they came out with no harm at all. They didn't even smell like smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar, in response to that evidence, says in verse 28 of Daniel 3, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything of the offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no God who is able to deliver in this way." He saw the evidence. He acknowledged that God had to be the powerful one. There's so much evidence recorded for us. Jesus points out in John chapter 5 that even about his coming, he says in John 5 and verse 39, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." And therein lies the problem. It's not a lack of evidence, because the evidence is abundant. The problem is that the evidence that points the way is not what people want. You can see this illustrated in John chapter 12. God spoke in front of a crowd from heaven, saying that Jesus was his son. In John 12 and verse 27, it says, "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the crowd of people stood by and heard it, were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel had spoken to them. They heard the voice of God. What did they do? Explain it away. It can't be God. And so they decided, well, it was just thunder. It just happened to sound like kind of like words. Those that couldn't even get past, well, it was words. Well, maybe an angel spoke to them. They could not face that God was talking to Christ, answering them directly. Another example of this is in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 41. Oh, sorry, not 12. Matthew chapter 27 in verse 41. I'm reading two lines at the same time. Matthew chapter 27, verse 41. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him." No, it's the taunting. Just take yourself down off the cross and we'll believe in you. But they have already had evidence. Now, Jesus, it mentions in John 7, taught like no one else. In John chapter 7 in verse 46. The officers answered, "Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks." And what about all those miracles that Jesus did? Now, Jesus mentions them in John chapter 5 and verse 36. "I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." They've seen the miracles. Oh, that was chapter 6 and verse 36. Chapter 5 and verse 36. "But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me, that the Father has sent me." There was evidence there that they had seen. And yet they did not accept it, just as God said would happen. In fact, take a look at John chapter 1, and starting at verse 9. "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He is in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." People saw God directly. Have you think about that? God himself came into his own creation, lived among mankind. How much more direct evidence can you ask for? And yet his own did not accept him. The very ones looking forward to his coming rejected him. I found an interesting quote. It says, in 2012, renowned atheist Richard Dawkins was questioned about his unbelief in God. Specifically, he was asked, "What proof, by the way, would change your mind?" He quickly responded saying, "Well, that's a very difficult and interesting question because, I mean, I used to think that if somehow, you know, a great, big, giant, 900-foot Jesus with a voice like Paul Robeson suddenly strode in and said, 'I exist and I'm here.' But even that, I actually sometimes wonder if that would." Though Dr. Dawkins was interrupted, he clearly left the impression that even if God appeared to him, taking the form of a giant 900-foot Jesus with a mighty voice, even that encounter would probably not convince him. And that's what we need to understand. When people say, well, why doesn't God just prove himself? There's people out there that just won't accept any proof. And we know that because God has been proving himself. But another thing we need to understand is that even if some admit God exists, even if they've grudgingly acknowledged that God is there, that does not mean that they will be obedient to God. If you want evidence of that, take a look at the fact that in Colossians chapter 1, it mentions that angels are created beings. Colossians 1 verse 16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Angels are created beings. They are created by God. Job mentions in Job chapter 1 and in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, that's the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. Angels see God. They have direct evidence. They know they were made by God. They see God. They're present before God in heaven. And yet, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness, reserved for judgment. Even with all that evidence, angels sin. And that's despite the fact that James points out in James 2. And in verse 19, you know that God is one, or you believe that God is one. You do well. God, the demons also believe and shudder. They believe in God, but they don't obey. But God does expect people to trust the evidence that's given. Now, while I was working on this lesson, I was thinking, you know, have you ever been a victim of identity theft? I had someone take over my Facebook account a while back. It was quite annoying. What do you do to prove that you are you? It's harder than you think. And even when you do give what you think is ample proof, can you say that you're able to prove something so completely that there's no argument that you're real? You know, at some point, people just have to accept the evidence that's there. What does God need to do to prove he's real? At some point, people just have to accept the evidence that's given. God expects people to come and seek him. In Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And starting at verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. You have to want to see the evidence. You have to look. It's not that the evidence is not there, but you have to open your eyes. You have to accept it. Well, what if somebody just came back from the dead? That would prove it, right? Yeah, that's the problem. You know, if they don't accept the evidence that's recorded, additional evidence is not going to make any difference. Because in Luke chapter 16 and in verse 27, the rich man who's in torments talks to Abraham. And he says, I beg you, Father, that you send him, Lazarus, to my father's house, so that, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. We got to understand, there are people, there's not enough evidence out there. Not because it's not good evidence, but because their mind is closed. You know, if Jesus came today, walked the streets of the United States, did miracles, taught the truth, videos are recorded of him spread across the internet, would people believe or would they claim that it was all faked? I give you good odds that a lot of people will say the faked. Because at the core of the problem is that there's rebellion and an unwillingness to submit to God, and it doesn't matter what evidence is there. They don't want the consequence of admitting that God exists. This is why God has said in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. If you don't have faith, if you don't trust the evidence, then it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to come to the right conclusions. Faith separates the humble from the arrogant. We're going to go out and talk, Lord willing, you know, later this week about God, about the Bible, about the evidence that's there. Just understand, there are going to be people that just won't accept anything that you offer. Don't think that's saying that you're bad or that you're not doing a good job or that you don't have adequate proof. Just understand, God requires there has to be a basis of faith. Someone has to be willing to look at the evidence and accept that God exists. And without that foundation, can't get much further. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, would like to become a child of God, we offer an opportunity for that. For those who are children of God, would like to praise your brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.